Well, this morning we're continuing our study in the names of the believer. Last week, we had our introduction, and I talked about how this came about when we began to study the names of Jesus Christ a year ago during this time. Of course, Jesus said, as I mentioned before, 10 times, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life. And then there are the names of who Christ is. He is the Emmanuel, he is the Advocate, he is the Lamb of God, he is the Christ, he is Jesus. And then we're looking this morning as a beginning of a series that we began last week on the names of a believer. Our identity, our uniqueness of who we are, is that we are bonded to the person of Jesus Christ. And the name we looked at last week was that we are called Christians. The people there in Antioch for this first time were called Christians, and a Christian is a person who is Christ's one. He is a person who belongs to Jesus Christ. And so I want to tell you that now as we begin to look for the next 18, 19, 20 weeks and all these different names, I want to show you that in a sense, all the identity of who we are, the names we have as a believer, the one this morning, a son of God, notice the son of God, little s, Jesus is the son of God, big S, which we'll talk about that. All of our names flow from that identity, the identity that we belong to Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's our uniqueness. That's what makes us unique in this world. That's what makes us unique in the eyes of God, is that we are bonded, we are intertwined with the person and the destiny of Jesus Christ. So, as we begin this morning, I'm going to preach the next three or four Sundays on names that are very closely related to Christmas. And so here we have the passage in Luke chapter 1. By the way, I want to really thank Lois Caparis. Are these the banners here? Yeah, and these for Christmas time. Come, let us adore him. Let's give her a hand. Thank you. And for this as well. So this is the passage in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. Behold, you will conceive. This is Gabriel speaking to Mary in the Annunciation, announcing, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He's not just going to be your son, notice, little s, but he is going to be called the Son, big S, of the Most High. The Lord the God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can these things be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the holy child shall be called the Son of God. There it is again. He will be called the Son of God, and the Spirit will come upon you. The power of God will come upon you. And for this reason, this child, this holy child, which we're celebrating Christmas, this holy child will be called the Son of God. The Son of God. Now we are called the Son of God. Here's the passages spoken to us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, that God predestined us as adoption, as sons, little s, through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. We are called the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. If we're sons, he is our Father, the Father and Son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Father, we the Son. Galatians 4, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. The one born in you will be called the Son of the Most High. And here God has said to us, you are now my sons, the spirit of adoption. We receive the spirit whereby we cry out, Father, into our hearts. So, Jesus is called the Son of God. Let's talk about that for a moment. We're going to talk about a little bit, but we're going to talk a lot about our sonship. Jesus is called the Son of God because he is God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is his position, his position. The Father sent the Son, God the Son sent the Holy Spirit. The position in accomplishing the salvation that we have. But the question is, why is Jesus called this name in this position? Why does Jesus have this title in this position of being the second person of the Trinity? I'll tell you why. Because in Colossians 1 it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Like Father, like Son. Jesus is the image bearer of the Heavenly Father. God the Father, God the Son. And therefore, as the image bearer, as he bears the image, the exact representation, he is the Son representing the Father, the same image and the same likeness. Let's look at a few passages in this. Remember, of course, in John 14, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? He says, show us this person, and that will be enough. He says, have you been so much that you have not come to know me? For he who has seen me has seen the Father. Amazing statement, right? Because I am the exact representation. I am the image bearer of my Father. I do all things that please the Father. Look at this long verse. We'll go almost verse by verse. Therefore, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Jesus does what the Father does because he is the exact image of the Father. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Like Father, like Son. For the Father, these are the same passages in John 5. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. Shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater things than these so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. Isn't that amazing verses? This is the reason Jesus is called the Son of God. Not just the servant of God, the Christ of God, the Jesus of God, the Lamb of God, right? This is not why he has these other names, but what is unique that he has this name. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. And the Son will do the exact judgment as the Father would have done, because he is the exact image of the Father. You have seen me, you've seen the Father. So that all will honor the Son even if they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. You don't honor Jesus Christ, you don't know God. Very simple. You don't honor Jesus Christ, you don't know God. You can talk about all you want about God generically, but God says, it's not impressive to me. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. He that has life, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life. You know, this week, I don't know why I told my wife this, there's a verse that's come to me every few hours. And it's the verse when Jesus was in the temple when he was 12 years old. Remember, his parents took him to Jerusalem for fulfilling the Jewish obligation of going to the temple three times a year. And they left, and they thought he was with other relatives. And notice, they're all in haste. They make a search for him. And they said, and there's all these words that come to, oh, we're nervous. What happened to you? Where have you been? You know, why have you done this to us? And Jesus only says one thing. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? You know how old Jesus was when he said this? 12 years old. That's mind-boggling. Now you would say, well, he was God. He knew this when he was 6 months old. Of course we knew he was God. He is God. But for him to say these words, the identity, don't you know I must be about my Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am therefore the Son of God, the Son of God. So, in the same way, if I could say this, whatever God does, Jesus does. He is the image bearer. God creates, Jesus creates. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Christ, all things were created, both in heavens and the earth. You know what that's a reference to? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All things were created by him, both visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And for him. Every attribute of God that you find in the Old Testament, you will find the same attribute of God in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. The word of the Lord endures forever. The flower fades, the field, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away. My words will never pass away. God is all powerful. All powerful. Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Every attribute is given to the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, I alluded to this for a moment in my prayer, but people would say, what would God be like if he came on the earth? Think of it. What would God be like? What would God do if he came on the earth? Now, I want everyone to listen to me very closely. I want everyone to look at me. Don't be distracted. My friend, this is what the gospel is about. Listen. You know what God would do if he came on the earth? He would die for you. He would die for you. Think of that. What would it be like if the Almighty God... Think the American Indians and think about the Great Spirit. Think about the Muslims who think about Allah. Think about the Jews who think about Jehovah. Think about the Buddhists who think about Nirvana. What would it be like if this one would come on the earth? We could say to all those cultures and all those people, this one would die for you. You know how I know that? Because Jesus died for you. My friend, that's the good news. That's the gospel. Think of it. God would die for you. Anybody want to become a Christian today? You see what I'm saying? That's the best news. God would die for me? God would give up his existence? In this sense, not God cannot give up his life. He's Almighty God. In him is life and the life of all things. But that's what's amazing about the celebration of Christ. This is the one who came and he would die for you. What would God be like if he came on the earth? All you need to do is look at the life of Jesus Christ. This is what God would say. This is what God would do. This is what God would accomplish. That's mind-boggling. My friend, that's worth living for Jesus. That's worth living holy for. That's worth living for God. That just that concept, just that statement, that Almighty God would come to this world and live on this world and die for Sam Rotman. Who is this God? How can I follow him? How can I live for him? Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Bonded together. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He that has the Son has life, he does not have the Son does not have life. Okay. That's just the introduction. I mean, I'm not saying it to be funny. But you see, we as sons of God flows of why we have this name. Because of the name that Jesus has, as he is the Son of God. We are called the sons of God. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Now imagine what God could have called us. God could have called us servants. He could have done that. God could have called us, in the New Testament, you have people who are called prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. You know, and God gave the church in Ephesians chapter 4. You could have called, this one you'll be called as a teacher. This one you'll be called as a pastor. You call me a pastor. You know what God calls me? A son. Amazing who we are. Of all the names God could have given to us. Sons. Wow. And in one way, I'm surprised by it. And another way, I'm not surprised at it. How did we get that name? If I could say this, why do we have that name? You go to Genesis. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing and that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. First of all, notice male and female. I know I'm using the word sons, but I'm not trying to be, you know, politically correct and things, but you know, you are a daughter of God. When I say the word sons, you are the daughter of God. You're not called the servant of God. You are called the daughter of God. We are the children of God. Notice, he made them male and female, he created them. So notice, Adam is an image bearer. Nothing in creation was to have that. Nothing. Man was unique. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. It's over and over repeated. He created them, male and female. Now, not until a genealogy in Luke chapter 3 do you find something that is not answered in this quote, in this passage. In verse 33 of Luke 33, too bad I gave the wrong thing, although I gave the right, but I didn't go all the way to the end. But in Luke chapter 3, so let me just read it to you, because this is the ending of it, but not the completion of it. In Luke chapter 3, verse 37, let me see if it goes on. No, it doesn't. Luke 3 and verse 37, yeah, because it goes to 38. Here's the genealogy, and the genealogies goes two ways. The genealogies go from Adam in Matthew to Jesus, and in Luke it goes from Jesus back to Adam, okay? So this is the Luke genealogy going backwards. And in Luke, verse 37, it says, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enosh, and the son of Jared, and the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan. And I'll read to you verse 38. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, and Adam is called, in verse 38, the son of God. It says it. Let me read it to you. The son of Adam, the son of God. Remember the genealogies. Joseph was the son of this. And the son of this was this. And the son of this was David. And the son of this was this. And the son of this. And it goes all the way to showing the lineage from Adam all the way to the person of Jesus Christ. And when it talks about who was the son of Adam, Seth, who was Adam the son of? Adam was the son of God. You don't have any of that indication in the Genesis passage. But here it's spoken to us, he is called the Son of God. And why? Because he is the image bearer. He is the image bearer. Let us make man in our image. So man was the image bearer of his creator. But of course, man fell and man sinned. And the day you eat and disobey me, you will surely die. And God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And what you have basically from that point on is that God begins a process of calling Abraham and having the Jews and having the Jewish nation and bringing forth the Christ and bringing forth the gospel and bringing forth the message of restoration and reconciliation, that we would be restored from when we once were the image bearer of God, that we broke that image of God, that now in Christ we're restored in the image of God. You get it? God accomplishes us becoming sons again in what he accomplished through his son. As his son was the image bearer of God, we are restored in his son, capital S is the image bearer of God. We are restored as the little s, the image bearer of God that was Genesis chapter 1. Amen? You get what I'm saying? The reason we are the image bearer of God, the son, is because Jesus Christ, who is the image bearer of God, the son, in Christ we are restored as the image bearer of God, as the little s, in the person who is Jesus Christ, the Son, the big S. I am a Christian because Jesus is the Christ. I am called a Christian because I am bonded, I am one of Christ, and I belong to the Christ, Jesus. Jesus is anointed as the Christ. I am anointed in Christ, and you are anointed in Christ. In the same way, I have become the Son of God because of Jesus Christ and my life being bonded in the Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God is the image bearer, and as he calls me and God has put me in his Son, the Christ, the Son, the image bearer, I now become the image bearer of God as a son of God. We know that God causes all things to work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Everyone knows this verse. God works all things for good. God works all things for good. Why does God work all things for good? Because God has a purpose in what he's working. To those who are called according to his purpose. What is the purpose of God? What is the purpose of boiling down the coming of Christ, the celebration of Christ, the life of Christ, what God did that he would die for me? What is the purpose of this? For those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. That's why you're the son. You are a son because God put you in his son to become an image bearer of his son, and therefore God works all things and destinated us to become conformed to the image of his son, and therefore with humility, but with pride and joy, I am unique because God in Christ has called me his son. I am a son of God. You are a son of God. We are conformed to the image of his son. My friend, that's God's purpose for you. God's purpose for you is to become just like and to be just like, and you are like his son. He didn't leave it up to chance. He didn't leave it up to whims. He's done a lot of things. The Holy Spirit, the Bible, the church, I mean, destiny. He that is, and of course the next verse says, for whom he predestined, he glorified, and whom he glorified, He raised, these amazing verses of what God has already done. Let me talk about another thought for a minute. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a life-giving soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Why are they both called Adam? Jesus is called an Adam. Why is he called an Adam? Not because he is Adam the man, he is Adam the image bearer. The image bearer. Adam was an image bearer, he lost it. We lost it in him. Christ is the image bearer, and God has put us in Christ. That's why we're called Christians. And to our amazement, because he is the son as the image bearer, I am a son as the image bearer. Like father, like son. Like father, like son. Like father, like son. You know, everything has one purpose in the world. Everything is to display, to reflect, and to declare who God is. Everything in this world has one purpose. The goal of this whole world that God created In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show forth his handiwork. The human body declares who God is, the wonder of who God is, the mind of God, the wisdom of God, the intricacy of God. The birds, the plants, the stars, the clouds, the ocean, salvation, forgiveness, mercy, grace, heaven, hell, God's patience, God's kindness. It all is for one purpose, to declare, to reflect, to announce who God is. That's exactly why God made the first Adam, and that's why exactly why God gave us the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Image bearer. Everything is an image bearer. Everything is an image bearer. Or, as we know, what is not an image bearer is ultimately to be redeemed as an image bearer. It says the whole creation groans for the redemption of the sons of men. You know it says that in Romans? Because this world is under a curse, and it can't wait till we get our final goal of seeing him as he is, and we will be with him as he is, and then there will be a whole new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, which will reflect who God is, because God is righteous. Christ is the image bearer. We as the Son in Christ are the image bearer. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us, this is Hebrews 1, in his Son. Notice he always is referred to the Son. Why the Son? Because he's the image bearer. He has spoken to us as his Son. These are exactly, in fact, Jesus said this, the words you have given, I say to you, have been given to me by my Father, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. And we, as the sons of God, in Christ, listen, are the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. That's amazing, isn't it? We, as the sons of God, the daughter of God, the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, who upholds all things by the word of his power, and we made purifications of sin. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than the angel, for he has inherited a more excellent name than them. You know what's the name that Jesus inherited or has that's better than an angel? Son. That's the name he has. God made us a little lower than the angels, but crowned us with honor and glory. Why? Because the angels are amazed and say, my goodness, that sinner, Sam Ruttman, now in God's Son, Jesus Christ, he is now crowned as a son. Who would have thought? That's amazing. Who would have thought? Because angels aren't called sons. They're called servants. Angels are called ministering spirits. An angel is not a son. They are not an image bearer. We are the image bearer. We are the sons of God. He has received a more excellent name. God has never called an angel a son. He calls his son a son, and he calls those in his son sons. You are called that. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. He never said that. That's about the Son. Now look at us. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Behold, now we are the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet as what we will be. Notice, we are still being molded, imaged, fashioned, disciplined, guided, forgiven, encouraged, built up, enveloped with the love of God, that we will be when we know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. My friend, you will be just like Jesus Christ because you are the Son of God. God the Son, in Christ, I am the Son of God. And then it says this, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. That's why Paul's, or the writer of Hebrews, says words like this. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That's why now we seek to purify ourselves because He is pure. Be ye holy as I am holy. Now, I'm not saying this to berate us. I'm trying to say to us, what an impulse for us. What a reason for us. I would be willing to live for Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus Christ as God, when He came on this earth, would die for me. That's enough to live for Him. That's enough to live for Him. Jesus didn't come to rule over me. He first came to die for me, that I would rule with Him. Imagine that. We will rule with Christ. We will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor enter into the mind of man what God has prepared for His children. My, oh my. So, we are the imitation of God's Son. Now, again, I want to show you how Christ talks about this and how it relates to us in this way. Remember this famous passage in John 8:44. He's talking to the Pharisees, and He says, "You are of your father the devil." Some people are the sons of the devil. Judas was the son of perdition, the son of the devil. He was doing his work, his means. "And you want to do the desires of your father." Notice, and the reason He was saying that you are of your father the devil is because your desire and your image bearing and your actions is of this father. Our desire, our actions is of our father. You are of your father the devil. You want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer. You want to kill me? They wanted to kill Christ. He was a murderer. That's why you're a murderer. From the beginning, he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth. They didn't accept the truth of Christ. They wanted to believe their lies. The reason people don't accept the truth of Christ is because they are fathering their other father. They're father of their fallen nature. They're not our enemies. They're trapped by the enemy. Whoever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But what does it say about us? Paul says, "Be imitators of me just as I am of Christ." Wow. Wow. What was this man? This man was a murderer. He killed Stephen. He was out to destroy the church. And then God did something to him. God did something to him. He put him in Jesus Christ. And now he says, "I'm an imitator of him. Imitate me as I'm an imitator of Christ, as Christ is the image of the invisible God." I'm a son, he's the son, we reflect the Almighty. Can I say this? The reason that God the Son, because of this, God the Son, and because you are in God the Son, the Christ, you are called the Son of God. So I want to show you now how Christ, what happened in his life as the Son, is related parallel to what's happened in our life as the Son. And again, I want to share this with you because we're going to look at four or five concepts and passages because all of them are related again because this has happened to us because it has happened to Christ. And because we are in Christ, that's the reason it's happened to us as well. Let me give you another amazing statement. On Christmas Eve, I'm going to preach on the passage that we are called the light of this world. You know, Jesus said, I am the light of this world. You know that I'm the light of the world. Jesus said that. You are the light of this world in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to preach on that. And the reason I'm the light of the world is because I'm in the light of the world. You get it? That's why I'm the light of the world. There's no light in me. In him was life and the light of men. And that light is deposited in me. And therefore, Jesus, you're the light. I'm the light. But I'm the light because you're the light. But I am a light. Not the light, I am a light. So, let's look at this. Jesus was born. The angels announced and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For the reason the Holy Child shall be called to you the Son of God. Notice it says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, will come upon you. The power of the Most High. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will come to you. And therefore, this one born is the Son of God. Jesus had a birth. You had a spiritual birth. Your being born again was the same thing. Remember, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. On May 21st, 1971, in a small apartment building on 71st Street in New York City, I had a spiritual birth. Every one of you, if you know Christ, it may have been over a time, it may have been an instant, it may have been over a process of a morning, whatever it may be, but if you know Christ, you can say you had a birth. You had a birth. You have had a spiritual birth. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You've had a physical birth, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but you need a spiritual birth, and you've never had a spiritual birth, you don't know Christ. You have to have a spiritual birth because God, the Son, had a birth. And he became the Son at his birth. We become the Son at our birth. Notice this. For as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood. It was not because my father had my birth, and therefore I am now the son of God. I'm the son of Joseph Rodman. I was not the son of God at my birth. That was my birth of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh, not because someone signed a statement. This Sam Rotman, there's a decree. I, Sam Rotman, decree that this is now that he is now a son of God. Or the will of men, not because I worked at it. I worked at it. My will. I'm a son. No, but we were born not of men, nor the will of men, nor of blood, but of God. That's the new birth. God birthed us. Ella Rotman didn't birth me. My wife didn't birth me. The church didn't birth me. God birthed me. Amazing. We are the children of God because we were born of God. Take out that whole middle part. We were born, in parenthesis, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but we were born of God. Jesus was born. We were born. The second thing, if Jesus is the Son, we know the passage, we looked at it in Luke, John 5, 22. Not even the Father judges anyone, but he's given all judgment to the Son. I mean, God has given Jesus everything. He has given him everything. You know, a father, out of his love, wants the best for his son. He desires the best for his son. Greater joy has no man than this. I mean, you know, to see your children doing well, to see your children in Christ, or see your children in joy or happiness. I mean, you know, that's the, to see your children going through difficulty, physical difficulties, disease, and things. That hurts. And so the desire of the Father is for the good of their children. He's given everything to Jesus Christ, his Son. Well, look at this. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a snake? Will he? Of course not. Your son asks for cereal, you're not going to give him rocks. I don't say that to be funny. Your son asks for pasta, you're not going to give him snake. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't do that. So then if you being evil, you in your fallen nature still have this image bearer of love and desire for your son, your children, how much more... who give good gifts to his children, how much will your Father who is in heaven. And many mentions, Father, we are the sons. Your Father who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Mind-boggling. If God did not spare us giving us his son, if God, Emmanuel, came on this world to die for me, God would die for me, what more can he, I mean, what more can he, he'll give everything I need. Remember the quote I said to you, excuse me, my throat. John Calvin said, I gave up everything for Christ, and I found out everything I needed was in Christ. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's good. So here we have, that's good, you can just put it down there. So here we have everything given to us as a son. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That's why Paul could say that God is going to sanctify your body, soul, and spirit at the coming of Jesus Christ. God's determined. He that began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ. God's not going to start a work and give up on it. All that the Father has given to me shall come to me, and all that he's given to me, I will lose not one. What does a son also do? A son inherits. A son inherits. Let me tell you what Jesus is going to inherit. Jesus is going to inherit everything. This is a messianic psalm, Psalm 2, verse 7. I will surely tell of the decrees of the Lord. He will say to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten me. Ask of me, and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. What do you want? Ask of me. Ask of me. And I'll give you the nations, the very ends of the earth, at your possessions. Jesus is going to inherit all things. All things. Well, we inherit. In Ephesians 1, verse 4, and he is given to us as a pledge of our inheritance with a redemption, with a view of the redemption of God's own possession. We will inherit. We inherit things. Romans 8, and if children, heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. We are going to be fellow heirs with Christ. Christ will inherit as the Son. We will inherit in the Son as Son. Big S, little s. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we also may be glorified with him. Then this is an amazing verse in Galatians 4. Now I say, as long as an heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, though he's an owner of everything, but he's under guardians and managers until the day set by the Father. Look what Paul is saying here. Now I say, as long as a child is the heir is a child, he does not differ at all. So here's a little 1-year-old boy. A 1-year-old boy. God, he can hardly do much. He can't even talk very much. But he is a son. And his father is Nelson, is John Rockefeller. Boy, what this son's going to inherit. Rockefeller, his son. The son has no idea what he's going to inherit. And here is a servant. Here's a servant to Rockefeller, and his wife has a son. They live 2 miles down the road, and he's in Phoenix in his palatial house, and here is his servant, and he has a son. And this son comes over to play with his little son. And there's the little son of Rockefeller, and there's the little son of the servant, and they're playing together. And look what it says. He's an heir. He does not differ at all from the slave, although he's the owner of everything. But he's under guardianship and manager until the dime set forth. We are sons. And let me tell you something. When we're going to inherit, we're going to inherit. We're going to inherit. We're going to inherit. So you have this great truth given to us. When Jesus was resurrected and Mary was looking for him, she came to him and she said, Rabbi, he said, stop clinging to me. Can you imagine? I will never let you go. I will never let you go. I will never let you go. Stop clinging to me. Boy, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, she's probably pulling on his robe and pulling him, and she's weeping, and she doesn't know, she's crying for joy and cry. You know, she's clinging to me. For I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, my brothers, and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. I ascend to my God and your God. So let me close for a moment in speaking about one issue about all this. Notice in this passage, Romans 8, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received the spirit of adoption. In all of the major passages, Ephesians 1, Romans 8, Galatians 4, Paul talks about adoption. We have been adopted as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4, the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the spirit of adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit in our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And Ephesians, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. So what is adoption? You know, we had a baptism in August. Five or six people were baptized. And the amazing thing is that all the people who were baptized were adopted. It's wonderful. It's people from Russia, here in the U.S. They're all adopted. And you know, to adopt a child, there's a process. This child that was adopted from Russia, they went to Russia. Deborah and I have friends of ours who adopted children from China. They went to China. So what happens is that there's the process. Now, let me show you the Old Testament process, the New Testament process. There's a passage in Ezekiel, it says this, and thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. As for your birth, notice, birth. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing, nor were you rubbed with salt or even wrapped in clothes. There was nothing beautiful about you to attract me to you. You know, there was nothing, no one claimed you. You were sort of abandoned and you needed adoption. No eye looked upon you with pity, nor did any of those things for you, but I had compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. When I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, and I said while you were in your blood, live. This is an abandoned birth. No one claimed. If I could say this, a sinful birth. We come from the Psalm 58. In sin did my mother conceive me. We are born sinners. We are born alienated from God. But then, same passage, then I bathed you with water and washed off your blood from you and anointed you with oil. Isn't that amazing? Anointed you. Christ. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skins on your feet. And I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you for ornaments, put bracelets on your hands, necklace around your neck. I put a ring on your nostrils, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Wow. This is what you were. This is what you've become. This was adoption. You know, I've done the Passover. And in the Passover, to the Jew, the ultimate picture of salvation is the Passover. The Jews were in the land of darkness, and He brought them to light. The Jews were following idols, and He brought them to Mount Sinai. And He says, you will be my people, I will be your God. In Egypt, they were slaves to Pharaoh. Now they will be servants of God. Same thing in Christ. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's adoption. He took us from the kingdom of darkness, the devil, the darkness, and He transferred us into the kingdom of His Son, light. Romans 6, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you were committed. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That's what happened to the Jews in Egypt. They were slaves to Pharaoh. Now they were servants of God. Let's read on. For they themselves report among us what kind of a reception we had with you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. From idols to serve the living and true. They were serving idols in Egypt, the Egyptians. Now they were serving the living and true God. Not that the Jews were serving the idols. They were in the land of idols. That's the process of adoption. God has taken us from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness, from idols to serving the living God. And you know how he did that? By putting us in Christ. By putting us in the Son. He put us in the Son, and in the Son, he brought forth the transfer of adoption. For instance, last week we looked at the passage in Acts 8 where it says, we were baptized in the name of Christ. You know that you are crucified with Christ? I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, I went to the cross with him. Jesus died to sin. In Christ, I died to sin. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You know that you are buried with Christ? You are raised with Christ? Notice, even when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places. Whatever happened to God the Son happened to us as adopting us to become sons. What happened to God the Son in his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension has happened to us because we are in Christ the Son. We have become that. This is adoption. This is the process of how God adopted us. This is how he took us from darkness to light, from idols, by putting us in the Son. We have become the Son. We have become the Son. Again, I put my trust in him, and behold, I and the children whom God have given to me. On the last day, Jesus is going to say, look, I and all the children, they look just like me, Father, don't they? Look, they look just like me. Look, they look just like me. You know why? Because they are me. They are me. They're Christians. They're sons. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also. You know why Jesus became a man? Because you are a man. Let me just say this for 30 seconds. That's why I am convinced there's nothing else created in the whole universe. Nothing. America could spend $500 billion to try to find. There's nothing else in the universe. You know why? Because God has committed himself to us. Jesus has the marks. I mean, this is it. This is it. This is the only show in town. This is it. God doesn't have a plan B. This is it. There's nothing else. God, look, he himself took on flesh and blood. That's why he did it, because we were flesh and blood. He's committed to us. Anybody want to become a Christian this morning? So look what God has done for me. Look what God has done for me. That's why Paul says at the very end, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. I am what I am. I am, by the grace of God, humbly, thankfully, mercifully, graciously given to me in Christ the Son, God the Son. I am a unique bearer of God the Son, as I am a son of God. Brethren, what privilege, what honor, what awaits us. It's worth living for God the Son. It's worth living for God the Son. Praise his holy name. Let's pray together. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come to you this morning and we thank you for what you've done for us in God the Son. And to think that you look upon us and you call us sons, daughters of God. What can we do? What can we say? We humble ourselves. We thank you. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a son of God, you don't know Christ. My friend, come up front this morning. Come up front this morning. Everyone's going to walk out. Someone's going to have their picture taken. Come and come up front this morning, and my friend, be born into the kingdom of God. Turn your life over to Jesus Christ, and he will give you a spiritual birth. He will. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He that has the Son has life. And so, my brothers and sisters, go in the name of God the Son, the sons and daughters of the Most High. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.